Psalm 126. The few times we have done this on Wednesday, we've called it the spectacular and spectacular working of God or whatever. And I'll show you in the God's Word translation where that came from. I'm going to title this, Get Ready. Amen. Amen. In Psalm 126. So, you know, as a preacher, as a servant of God, we all learn, you don't preach what you want to preach. You preach what thus saith the Lord. You find out what did the Lord say, and you speak it forth. And sometimes what the Lord is saying or what the Lord is saying for you to say may make absolutely no sense. It may really be absolutely dumb and stupid for you to stand there and say, what thus saith the Lord? But your job, your assignment as a preacher, we don't preach from the head. Like I said in the earlier service in Akron, we don't preach from the head. We don't preach based on anything in the natural. We just say what thus saith the Lord. If this is what the Lord is saying, that's what the Lord is saying. You just speak it. And you know in Romans 11, the Bible says faith, Romans 10, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. It is through hearing the word, and it's not just any word, but the word that the Lord is speaking. It is through hearing that word that faith arises. And you may have no bearing in the natural for that word in your life, but your only assignment is to believe whatever thus saith the Lord. If the Lord says this, just believe it. Don't, you know, like we play these games in our heads. If you preach or you exhort people or you the Lord leads you to do stuff, sometimes, you know, you're going through this whole thing, the struggle, but Lord, that doesn't make sense, God. But at some point, you got to learn, just speak whatever saith the Lord. Because God is waiting to confirm his word in the lives of his people. And it's not based on anything that they have or anything they see or anything they know in the natural. It's based on what he wants to do. We've got to give God sufficient credit and accept that the Lord knows what to do and he knows when to do it. Amen. And I'm super excited about these messages. I have been on Wednesdays when I've taught it, but I think more so on Sunday, more so this morning, actually, as I sat down yesterday evening sharing this with Pastor T, and she was helping me, was trying to juggle my memory to remember this incident, and we kind of agree was from about 10 years ago. But, you know, I sat down to kind of meditate finally and put final finishing touches to whatever the Lord will have me minister about this part of the message today. And I sat down, opened my Bible to Psalm 126, as always, and was going to get into meditating. And the moment I did, a text came into my phone. Usually I don't, you know, if I'm really doing hard study, I don't keep my phone on. But it turned out just because I just sat down, I hadn't remembered to turn it off, silence, whatever. And so this text came from my phone, and it was from an anonymous number. But this text came into my phone just as I sat down and kind of, you know, started meditating over Psalm 126. I actually had just started praying over it, over that scripture and over today's service and all of that. And I thought, I don't know, who is this person? Anonymous. And I looked all the way to the bottom of it. Ah, the name. Oh, I remember that name from a pastor in Louisville, Kentucky, who I had been blessed to minister for, he and his wife, about 10 years ago. So we're trying to juggle that, trying to remember exactly when that ministry happened. And we think it was about 10 years ago. But that message just blew me up. It just took me, it was like a rocket, like somebody launched a rocket within me. And I'm saying just last night, not 2 years ago. So I want to get into this word and say a few things that I know thus saith the Lord about it. because that message also kind of served as an additional confirmation to me that, yeah, the Lord wants me to say this. You know, I said in the Akron service this morning, when the Lord said to the, he said to that prophet, Elijah, he says, I'm going to send rain. And Elijah started saying, oh, I hear the sound of abundance of rain. I'm telling you, these people, the nation had been in 3 years of famine. There was not a drop. They had not seen a drop of rain in 3 years. And here comes this crazy prophet saying, I hear the sound, not of a drop, but I hear the sound of abundance of rain. Man, it takes faith to believe stuff like that. Because when you hear a word like that, and you look all around you, and all you see is dryness, you see famine everywhere, you are even scared to repeat what you heard. You know what I mean? But like I said earlier, you learn over time, working with the Lord, you say whatever thus saith the Lord. Because if the Lord says, I'm sending rain, then he's sending rain. But you know what? He needs someone to say it so that faith can come in the hearts of God's people. And when faith comes, that gives God the open door to get it done. So there's a lot of things the Lord really wants to do, but if there is no faith, he's limited. The only real limiter to the power of God is faith. It's not that God doesn't want to do those things. Amen. And also, like I said in that earlier service, quoting from one of my favorite scriptures, the Bible says in Romans 1, I think it's 16 and 17. If you take the power out of the gospel, just forget it. Yeah. I don't know about you. There are all this glitzy stuff that people go wild about, you know, in churches and things and all of that. And sometimes we have all this feel-good stuff. But let me tell you this. If you take the power out of the gospel, just forget it. Yeah. Just forget it. As a matter of fact, I'd rather go back to my Islamic, where our family started this, because my grandfather and grandmother were Muslims. My grandfather was an Alaji. That means he had gone on pilgrimage. He had visited Saudi Arabia a number of times, so they called him Alaji. And his name, now hold your ears, his name, Alaji Suara. What's his name? Alaji Suara Tadeshi. And that man knew a lot of things that I found out a lot of believers don't know. And he never read the Bible. He never read the Bible. I remember he used to tell us, as little children, he used to say, forgive me, mother tongue. He used to say, alubarika loju. And what he means by that is, let me explain that to you. He used to say, my grandfather was a cattle rearer. He was a businessman. He was a cattle rearer. He, across the western region of Nigeria, across multiple states, from our hometown, he transacted cattle business, sold cattle and sheep and goats and all of that across. That was his trade. And he prospered from that. He was blessed from that. Blessed, well, rich, not blessed in the scriptural sense of the word. But he used to say to us as little children, he used to say, alubarika loju. Now, what that means is you can do everything you need to do. You should do your part. You should do everything you need to do. But at the end of the day, it is really God's grace, God's favor, and God's mercy that makes a difference in your life. That's what he used to say. That man never read the Bible, but he knew that. Call his name with me, Alaji Suara. Alaji Suara. That's right. And my grandmother had another very interesting name. Her own name was Alaja Asimawu. Call that name for me. Alaja Asimawu. I mean, these were people that were really deeply entrenched in that Islamic religion. And yet I found out they knew some things that many churchgoers don't know. They knew some things. So if you are going to take the power out of the gospel, forget it. I don't even want it. Romans 1, I think it's 16 and 17, says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Right? He says, for it is the power of God, thank you. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. First, the Jews, and then the Gentiles. And then in verse 17, he says, for therein is the righteousness and the power and the glory of God revealed from faith to faith. It's that gospel. But the most significant thing about that gospel is the power. Is the power. If all we have is just all this great stuff and glitz and we're just happy, we just come with the crowd of 100,000 people. Woo, I went to church today. Woo, I had a great message. Woo, woo, woo. And you just go home and you're just, and the power is not there. Forget it. I don't want that. Forget it. Because I know the power that changed my life. I know the power that took me out of whatever and made me whatever he's made me. It wasn't all of those things that people are screaming about today. Uh-uh. It's the power of God in the gospel. So if that power does not exist, forget it, I don't want it. So in Psalm 126, I've been preaching this for about 2 months on Wednesdays. If you haven't joined us, join us this coming Wednesday. You'll be blessed. Amen. He said, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord has done great things for them. Please say that line with me. The Lord has done great things. I want you to notice the Lord is the Lord who did these great things. Sometimes when you listen to believers, and sometimes even us ministers, pastors, sometimes if you listen to us speak, we sometimes make it sound like it's what we did. Oh, I did, we bring this testimony, say, I did this, I did that, I did that, and then, yeah, God did something. He helped me. God helped me. But I did, and I did, and I did, and I did, and then, bam, miracle. And a lot of times, we're not giving God the credit that is due to him. It's the Lord who did great things. It's not them. It's not their minds, it's not their ability, their creativity, their mental genius. It's the Lord. Somebody says, the Lord. Say it with me, say, it's the Lord that did great things. It's the Lord. Yes, you have your part. We have our part. We ought to play our part. We have our part. You ought to play your part. But remember what my grandfather, Alhaji Suara Tadeshe, used to say. Alubarika loju. What does that mean? It means even after you have done your part, it is the blessing of the Lord that prospers. It is the mercy of the Lord. It is the grace of God that brings his miracles into fruition in our lives. Say, the Lord has done great things for them. Say, the Lord has done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Then he said, turn again our captivity, O Lord. Can you imagine God turning captivities? Can you imagine God filling your mouth with laughter? Can you imagine God fulfilling your dreams? That's what he said he did for them here. Well, that's what I heard. This does say the Lord that I'm telling you about. Well, first of all, for Open Heavens, very early in the year, the Lord gave us a theme for Open Heavens, and he said, he captioned it, nothing they have imagined will be impossible. We have that on our website. It's been there for a couple of, yeah? You have it? You guys have it? Yeah? You have it? nothing they have. He gave that theme from the beginning of the year. I guarantee you, there's going to be miracles. Miracles unprecedented. I'm not saying things that you can quantify in the natural immediately. But I'm saying that God will do some things across realms that people had considered impossible during Open Heavens Weekend. I really believe that because that's what he said. So remember what I said to you. When God says to his servant, you say that, in his mind, he's going, but Lord, man, who's going to believe that? I mean, when last did anything impossible happen? You say that. That's thus saith the Lord. You say that. And in the God's Word translation of Psalm 126, listen to what it says. It says, when the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, he says it was as if we were dreaming. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, it was as if we were dreaming. Then our mouths were filled with laughter and our tongues with joyful songs. Then the nation said, the Lord has done spectacular things for them. The Lord has done spectacular things for them. He says, the Lord has done spectacular things for us. We are overjoyed. How many people are looking to be overjoyed here? I said, who is looking to get overjoyed here? Amen. The Lord wants to make a spectacle out of your life. He wants to do something striking, sensational. He wants to make a display of your life. He wants to do something miraculous. How many people believe that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, I don't know how much more time, because I'm going to close early. So about 10 years ago, I had been privileged to minister for this couple, this pastor couple. They were both pastors. The husband was, I think, used to be an engineer. He was a trained engineer and before the Lord called him into the ministry. And they had a very blessed church out in Louisville, Kentucky. And through one of our associates from way back, somehow or the other, they were doing something they called a men's weekend. And so they had something organized for Saturday, which they devoted. I think that was about the time when just a lot of men were just dying with a lot of health issues. Men, especially heart attacks and all of these crazy things. And men were just, you know, and they organized this thing. It was supposed to be like a health thing. So they brought together a lot of health professionals, a lot of high-level specialists in the medical field, professors and all of these and different kind of doctors. And different ones brought different perspectives over healthy living for men. It was a very, very, very informative event. But then for Saturday afternoon, they wanted me to minister the word and just speak over them after they had done all of the health stuff. Remember what my grandfather used to say, Alubarika Luju. That is, you're going to hear it quite a bit in this short service today. And the reason it got pulled out is because of the relevance to this memory that was stirred up for me last night. So when they had all of the medical professionals, all of the high specialists and doctors and professors had taught and a lot of very informative stuff, very instructional things, which a lot of it I took myself because I wasn't aware of those things. Very helpful. But when it was said and done, then they wanted a session based on the word for impartation. I'm so glad they did. Because while all the doctors were talking and instructing, and I knew my session was coming up, in my spirit, as I was wondering what I'm supposed to, I heard the voice of the Lord say, ask them, when you get up there, the first thing I want you to ask them is, why should I keep you alive? This is a true story. God is my witness. The Lord said, when you get up there on that pulpit, the first thing I want you to say, ask them, why should I keep you alive? Because you guys are going through all of this fantastic scientific health stuff. Like, if you do this, if you do that, you can extend your life, you can prolong your life, da-da-da-da-da. But remember, at the end of the day, alubarika loju. Right? That means after you've done all of that stuff, after you've done your part, after you've done, the Bible says, if the Lord does not build a house, if the Lord does not build that house, just forget it. So yeah, we build, we have our part, but it is the Lord, it is the Lord's grace, it is the Lord's mercy, it is the Lord's provision that gets it done. So the Lord said, say that to them. So this is why I was struggling in my head. I said, Lord, see, I came from Ohio. I'm in Louisville, Kentucky. I was on my way. I was headed to Missouri. So it was supposed to be a long stretch of a week for me. I said, Lord, these people have to give me lunch today after this service. They have to give me dinner tonight. Then, you know, I'm ministering in the service. I'm ministering to their entire whatever tomorrow for the Sunday. They have to. And then at the end of the service, they have to give me a good honorarium so I can get on my way to Missouri. I said, Lord, if I say that, they may not even let me preach tomorrow, Sunday. They may just say, he's a false prophet. Just go. You know, I was struggling in my head. The Lord said, when you get up there, I want you to ask them, why should I keep you alive? So think how crazy that sounds. We're in a health seminar. We came together to learn about how to live longer. And we're learning a lot of medical information about things we can do to live longer. And here comes the preacher, the representative of God. He gets on the pulpit, and the first thing out of his mouth is, why should I keep you alive? I mean, that just sounds crazy. Do you agree with me? It did to them. They thought so too. Because the moment I got on the pulpit, and I said, the Lord asked me to ask you one question. He said, I should ask you, why should I keep you alive? They all went, their eyes shot out like this, and their mouths dropped. But the power of God fell on that service. And the Lord had me minister to them on the power of purposeful living. The Lord was using that to get their attention, that question. Why should I keep you alive? Why would I keep you alive? Because all these people were so engrossed, deeply engrossed. I mean, you think you've seen engrossed people. You think you've seen people who are really doing things for themselves. You've not seen anything. These people were really deeply engrossed. Their lives totally centered around themselves, completely. It was everything about them and their pursuit, their career, their this, our family, our marriage, our dad. That's all about them. And the Lord said, why would I keep you alive? I mean, what's in it for me? If I kept you alive, what do I gain from that? That's what the Lord was saying. And so he had me minister to them on the power of purposeful. I tell you, yokes were broken. The power of God fell on that place. The glory of God fell on that place. We finished men, which, you know, typically men don't come for ministry. They don't stay after. You know, you finish men, just want to get going. And I tell you, a lot of those men, a lot of them professionals, wanted a time of ministry, one-on-one. We sat together. They gave me a room. I sat with a lot of them, prayed over them, ministered to them, blah, 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 answered questions and all of that. The power of God fell over that service. Then we came back on Sunday morning. And the Lord gave me a theme in the line of miracles and the impossible, experiencing the impossible of God. And the service was powerful. The Lord ministered to us. When we finished, Of course, a lot of people wanted ministry, so they gave me another room. We sat down there, one person after the other, and prayed for people and counseled and all of that. Of course, on Monday morning, I was on my way out of there to Missouri. Now, I will never forget this as long as I live. When we finished with all the ministry, the pastor's wife. So I want you to know, as a pastor, I can easily tell you this. Pastors are sometimes the most difficult people to minister to because we don't want to tell you that we have any needs or any problems. Why would we want to tell you that? I mean, we feel like we're responsible for carrying everybody's burden. We feel like people expect us to have all the answers. Why would we want to tell you that we have problems? So sometimes the most difficult people to minister to can be pastors. I'll never forget this woman as long as I live. And her attitude so blessed me. When we were done with all of that ministry, she said to me, she said, I'm going to need some time. I need a lot of your time today. I mean, we're already way into the afternoon. Her husband, of course, was the head pastor. He just wanted us to finish. We're done with service. Great. Praise God. Let's just go. But the woman said, no, I need your time today. So we sat down and she told me their life story. Cut the long story short, for about maybe close to somewhere between 10 and 20 years, they had been believing God for the miracle of their own children. They wanted their own child. Now, these two pastors were people of means. They were blessed. I mean, blessed. They had wealth. Before he was called into the ministry, I don't know what businesses and stuff that he had done, but they had so much wealth that when she was describing to me the steps they had taken, some of the best and most expensive institutions in Europe, I think one particular one in Ireland, where they had gone, chartered a whole place. I mean, and I'm not saying they didn't take a loan. They had their money and went through program after program after program, and at the end of it, they will fall through. In addition to that, they were highly anointed ministers of God. They were both associates of one of the most anointed ministers of the gospel that exists in this world right now. They had served as the armor bearer to that minister. So they were anointed. There was no question. They were anointed. They had the power of God working in their lives. This minister, along with many other ministers, had ministered to them and released grace and prophetic whatever impartations upon their life. So they were not lacking. But the miracle still tarried. And I believe from the visitation of God and the service, because generally, like I said, we pastors don't talk. I think finally after they had gone through everything they've gone through, the man, the husband, finally said, I've had it, just forget it. And he was done trying. He was done doing anything additional. And he was done talking about it. He didn't want to talk about it. So when the wife said, I want to tell you and I need time, he was like, oh, please, come on. I think if my memory is serving me well, I think we went on for so long that he probably came at some point and said, I'm going to see you later or something. And maybe left and came back and got her or what, I can't remember, because this went on for quite a while. Well, when we finished, I know that the only thing I remember was encouraged her in her faith. Yeah, just stand on the word, keep believing. I didn't do anything. I mean, I told you, these people were already anointed. They were armor bearers to one of the most, someone who I would do anything to get around and kiss that man's shoes. Yeah, they were armor bearers to that man of God. So, I mean, but I remember encouraging her, just, stand and keep on believing and don't quit. Well, I lost touch with them. I left on. He, I think the only message he ever sent me, the pastor, the husband, was a thank you for a great ministry over the weekend, blah, 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 on my way to Missouri. And I did not even have his name on my phone. She stayed in touch a little bit longer because whatever, I think, of course, from you have that kind of long conversation with someone, there's a prayer bond that is formed there, and she kind of stayed in touch a little bit. And of course, some members of their congregations try to stay in touch, which of course our policy is, no, you go back to your pastors and whatever. But she kind of stayed in touch for maybe a couple of years or so. But then I lost touch with her as well. And I'm saying this happened about 10 years ago. And last night, I got a message from the husband, the pastor. And like I said, I didn't have his phone. I didn't have his number saved on my phone. Yeah, so it's not like we exchange messages. But he sent this message. All right, this is your cue. Put it up now. All right, this is this message he sent me last night. Hello, sir. Join us to praise our miracle-working God. My wife safely gave birth to triplets. Mother and children are doing fine. Pastor and Pastor Mrs. AK. Now listen, the wife is about in her mid-50s. The husband is probably late 50s or early 60s. And mother and children are doing fine. I just want you to know, like my grandfather used to say, Alubarika Loju. Nothing against medicine, nothing against professional, all the stuff we need to do, you do your part. They probably ended up being aided by some medical thing. I don't know those details now. But what I do know is that 10 years ago, they had already expended, and I'm saying they had means. They were not people borrowing money for this. They had already expended as much as anybody could have and had finally come to a point where they said, just forget it. And last night, I told you, I don't remember him ever sending me any message, ever. Last night, he sent a message. They had triplets, mother and children, doing fine. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, doesn't that sound spectacular to you? That sounds really spectacular to me. That sounds like one of those things that you experience and people have to gather and say, wow, the Lord has done great things for them. I mean, people go, ha, 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 and they can't stop wondering about it because there is no human explanation for that. Can you just picture for a moment God working in your life in such a way that he fulfills all of your dreams? I'm not just talking maybe one or two of your dreams. I'm saying, can you imagine a state of being in your life where everything about your life lines up with the dream that you have had years ago? Some of those things which you had even given up on, some of those things that you had even come to the point where you thought, forget that, that's not even forget it. I mean, the man who sent the text, I've just told you, he's never sent me a message. I guess the woman who's always sent messages, she was too busy taking care of the triplets. It takes a lot. You know, it takes a lot to take care of three children, right? If you've never had one. But you see the excitement in his voice in the text. Can you imagine God bringing you to a place where your dreams are fulfilled? Where impossibilities become possible? That is the power of the gospel. That is the power of the gospel. There is nothing the power of God cannot do. There is nothing God cannot bring to pass. You know what is lacking a lot of times? Believing it. Believing it. Believing it. That's why I told you those ministers, they were already anointed. You don't lack the anointing. It's not like you need somebody new to pour oil on you. Yeah, praise God. She did come in her humility. She probably did it with many other ministers as well. In her humility, I said, I want to tell you my story. And when she got done telling me her story, she said, I want you to pray for me. Yeah, that humility was great. Humility, is a dose of humility is good for every believer. Because you just don't know. You just never know. But I'm telling you, they were not lacking for the anointing. They were already anointed. They were not lacking for the power of God in their lives. That power was already there. Many times, what we struggle with that becomes an obstacle to us is believing it. Continuing to expect it. Continuing to expect it. You wake up every morning, you go to bed every evening, and you continue to believe it, and you continue to expect it. That is where the challenge is for a lot of believers. You know why the Bible says in Romans, you can take that off now, thank you. You know why the Bible says in Romans 10, I think it's verse 17, it says faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing by the word of God. And then in the same breath, it says, but how are they, matter of fact, could you put that up for me? Romans 10, 17, thank you. So then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Verse 18. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world. Verse 19. But I say, did Israel not know? First Moses said, I would. You know what? Let's back up all the way. Let me look for that scripture. I'm looking for where he says, how would they hear unless a preacher is sent? And I want to tell you why God sends a preacher to say the things he says. Where is that? Verse 13. Would you pull it back all the way there, please? Verse 13. I'm going to close. What's the time? Yeah. This terrible couple went and bought this clock. I don't know who asked them. I know it wasn't the Lord. I know it was not the Lord. They went and spent precious money to buy this clock so that we will have no excuse. I mean, I can see right in front of me, it's 12:51. You know, usually I get to be able to tell you, oh, I can't see. I don't know what the time is. I guess maybe it's 12:15 right now. So I got some more time. Give me like 10 more minutes. I can't lie. I can see right there, it's 12:51. God bless them. Somebody say, God bless them. Say, for whosoever, that's it. For so I'm going to close. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Shall be saved. Go to the next verse. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Believed. And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? That's why God sends the words he sends us. That's why God sends his word. That's why he puts his words. So it's not words in the mind. It's not words we don't juggle. Which one sounds best? Which one will make people happy today? Which one will make them jump and run all over the church? Which one will bring a lot of people? Which one will? No. It's whatever thus saith the Lord. It's whatever thus saith the Lord. That's why he sends preachers. And that's why he sent me to tell you he wants to do some spectacular things in your life. So get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Tell your neighbors. Tell your neighbors, hey, get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Because the Lord will do spectacular things in your life. Do you believe that word? Would you stand with me? Let's just receive it. Let's receive it together. I want you to release faith in the name of Jesus. Release faith for the blessing of God over your future. Release faith for the fulfillment of the word of God. I don't know what area of your dreams are still tarrying, what areas still need to be fulfilled. But he said, if you believe, all things are possible to them that believe. No, no, no. You don't lack the anointing. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It doesn't hurt to have hands laid upon you one more time. Yeah, maybe for some, maybe hands have not even been laid at all. It doesn't hurt to have hands laid, to have words spoken, to have an impartation of the Spirit done. Yeah, that's good. That's good. But bottom line at the end of the day, do you believe it? Because it is your believing it that opens the door for the power of God to work. Not just believing it today, but believing it tomorrow and the day after and the week after and the month after and the year after. Because that message is, it's a 10-year-old message, maybe. I'm not sure exactly when, but when that interaction happened with that person in person, with that couple, so I don't know how long they believe for. That's the question, is can you keep your faith out there? Can you keep it on the line without getting weary? Without quitting, can you keep believing? Can you keep standing? Can you keep trusting? Can you keep holding on to His word? Raise up your hands to heaven. Say, Lord, I believe. Come on, say it strong. Say, Lord, I believe. I believe your every word that you have spoken to me. I know you are not a man that you should lie. You are not the son of a man that you should go back on your word. I believe your word. I believe your word. I believe your word. And I trust you to bring to pass everything that you have spoken. I give you the glory. And I give you the praise in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.